listening? It is I, Numator479. According to our studies of your puny mammalian race, we discovered you like very good coffee. And while it is our evolutionary purpose to cause you psychic torment, we want you awake and vivacious to give it. So try our new blend from Spring Hill Jack Coffee, Reptilian in the Morning. Our proprietary blend of lightly roasted cacao husks will have you immediately energized upon emerging from the pain cloaca with all your slippery new eggs. Thanks, honey. Hot, I'm cold-blooded. Thanks to Spring Hill Jack and Last Podcast on the left, I'm ready to get out there and eat some babies. Get out of the way, Hillary Clinton.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last Podcast
on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories, yeah.
Marcus,
You
ever thought that you were my twin flame?
I mean, I do know that you and my wife are very similar in many different ways.
So you're saying that she's the flame that you have sex with? And I'm the flame that you work with?
Yeah.
I don't think you understand the term of twin flame, though, because it's one person.
Well, I do recall that at one point, twin flames did talk about there being a third flame. Although the third flame was the baby. So maybe you're our baby.
I'm the baby. But you have to build a harmonious twin flame union, an HTFU. I think that's also really, really important. I think we need to work on that by, I think, honestly, you might need to switch to working with Carolina more and having sex with me more. Because I remember, and if in the words of Shia Leo, what's her last name?
I can't
Dumper,
remember.
Shia Leo Dumper? I know you. I remember what it was like feeling complete without my man. My life felt like it was on hold waiting for him when everything I did was just to find him and to be with him. I felt lost, lonely. I ached for completion, struggled to keep the light of hope alive in my heart. Oh, you feel like that before we met?
I did. I felt like I was struggling to keep the light, the hope of my light alive
but
in my
I
heart.
But I decided to keep going.
Does that mean doing a lot of cocaine and watching nothing but Nazi documentaries?
I think you were just having fun. All right.
I was not. It was a horrible time in my life.
So you finally decided to answer the call of love.
Yeah, I did.
Right. And this love has changed us fundamentally.
Has it?
Yeah.
I believe it has, actually.
I think it really unfortunately
I eat a lot
has.
More weird meats than I used to.
Well, you ate weird meats before.
I did. I just, now I have a yearning for it. I yearn. I learned. Welcome to Side Stories, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Marcus Parks. I'm learning and yearning.
I'm Shia Leah Dumper. Ready to get my face filled out with love. The only cult to get people fatter.
We're talking about twin flames here. Twin flames. Twin flame universe, excuse me. There's a couple of documentaries out about it right now. There's one on Netflix, one on Amazon. It's kind of like how Nexium had two documentaries at the same time. But this is a fascinating cult because it's completely online aside from a couple of meetups.
Yeah, it's Zoom based.
Yeah, it's a Zoom based. It's not even a YouTube cult. It's a Zoom based cult in which this married couple are bringing in lonely people, mostly women, and telling them that their life is not complete until they find their twin flame.
You have to have a twin flame. And guess what? It's either you either masculine or feminine. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what you showed up as. And that guy, Jeff, a guy named Jeff, who is, the way I saw him, I watched the Netflix one last night, the Netflix documentary.
Yeah, that's the only one I saw as well.
Jeff, I hate the term alpha beta,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you were going to choose a single man to be next to a picture of a man next to the words beta.
Yeah.
In a dictionary would be this Jeff man.
A beta in Alpha's clothing.
Yes, he is so gross. He looks like a version of a guy who gets cheated on in a picture in an Onion article. He's got long, stringy black hair. He's got his wife, Shia Leah. Her name's fucking Megan. She changed it to be vaguely Native American.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Shia Leah, I have no idea where that can't name be. It's like when someone names their daughter like Michaela Mom in order to be original.
But he tells you if you're a woman. He tells you if you're a man. He tells you if you're going to have sex with a woman. He tells you if you're going to have sex with a man, depending on what their energy is and what he decides You do.
Well, that's how the occult eventually evolved, because where it started is that you've got these two people. They're bringing lonely people in who are saying that they're having a hard time finding the love of their life, finding their twin flame. And so these people started telling them, like, you have your twin flame. You've met your twin flame. They ask, like, who do you like right now? And so, like, well, I like this guy,
this one
George.
Man sent a message to me on Facebook.
Because yeah. They're all, unfortunately, everybody is extremely lonely and... They're hard up.
Yeah.
Inside of the twin flame universe, they are hard up and they are there ready.
Very hard up.
To be told by a stringy haired, weasel faced man with his new Native American, newly Native American wife.
Yeah.
That you took up. You actually already met him. He put a heart on your Instagram post the other day.
Yeah. And then they say, you have to pursue this man. Pursue him.
Against all costs, all anything.
Full court press pursue this man. And some of these women followed this advice to such a degree that they got restraining orders put against them.
Persistence. And I think it's important to see. And even that one poor lady who broke her back and then, well, I say poor lady, and then turned into a full-on dangerous stalker with multiple different restraining orders put against her.
Yeah.
All because, and they kept being like, get back in there.
Yeah.
He's your twin flame. And then you were sending these rambling texts to somebody who's like, I'm gay. Leave me alone.
I mean, the one that was the most dangerous is this young girl. I think she was 19. And these twin flames leaders, this guy and this girl, told her that her twin flame was a felon in Utah.
Some guy who randomly messaged a cute redhead on Facebook.
Yeah. And they told her, that's your twin flame. What are you doing living across the... Because she lived in like Massachusetts or something.
Well, she was like, it's hard for him to come live with me because he has these felonies, legal implications. And they're like, fucking go to him, bitch.
He had an ankle bracelet. That's like, why he couldn't leave. He's like, he's, you know, on probation and he can't really leave his house or his county. And they're like, what are you doing staying in Massachusetts?
To the bracelet. Yeah. The bracelet's keeping your twin flame over there.
You gotta go to Provo fucking Utah.
Of course.
And so she gets there and
he's got a rat tail.
Yeah, he's got a rat tail and he's doing a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
Like, he's still doing it.
I just feel like his personal life is very dark. And they're like, excellent. Now we can see how hard your twin flames burn together.
Yeah. And the cult, everything just kept continuing because, you know, as we know in cults, you have to keep upping the ante. You have to keep adding activities.
Well, because they also realize they're making money. They have to make money somehow, guys. First of all, I'm trying to think of what our idea is. Natalie and I were sitting last night and really kind of coming down. So with twin flame, you have to buy teaching packages from Jeff and the Native American woman. And then when you do fake.
She's not Native American.
No, she's not. And so they go and they teach you
a bunch
of classes.
Her name's Megan.
Yeah, her name's Megan. I'm just going to call her Megan.
Just call her Megan,
Jeff,
please.
And Megan, right?
Jeff and Megan.
They're going to teach you how to teach other people how to guess that your twin flame is right there, because guess who their twin flame is? Whoever it is that you are talking to currently, right?
Yeah.
It's called the Twin Flame Ascension Coaching World.
And
right?
This is where the MLM comes into it.
Yes, because then you buy the classes and then you reach such a level you've done so many classes in such a good way that now you need to go bring in other coaches. They're going to bring money into the system as well. You sort of get a cut, but mostly they just put you to work in another place. And then I do think they're doing the thing where they're going to pay for you to live somewhere. They're doing the Scientology thing. LRH.
I mean, you
where
really...
Where would these people be without my man?
Dude, I know. Like, because I see it. I watch this thing and they use a lot of the same language. They use
so lazy.
It really is. I mean, I wondered about it because, you know, that's something that we talk about a lot in cult episodes where it seems like there is in some people an innate power, an innate knowledge of how to be a cult leader.
That's just
like
fucking,
they just know
pizzazz.
they just know how to do it.
It's going to 3 years of an NBA.
You have like Rock Terrio, like who had zero exposure to cults. He hadn't studied anything. You know, Jim Jones, the same way, had zero exposure to any of this stuff. And yet they somehow innately knew how to control people and how to build a cult and how to get people to do whatever the fuck they wanted them to do. And this guy has the same thing. And it's weird to think about how Scientology, like, I don't know if he's smart enough to have actually studied Scientology in order to use some of the terms.
We know that Keith Raniere was.
Yeah, Keith Raniere was. But Keith Raniere is, like, on a different level.
He's also an asshole.
Yeah, and I mean, he's an asshole, but he's also, like, he's calculating on a level that none of the rest of these guys are.
Think about how much of a dumpy fucking loser you have to be that Keith Raniere is an impressive version of you.
Yeah.
You know, it is hard.
But it makes me wonder how much of this, like, Scientology became so ubiquitous. Like, how many of these sorts of,
high control groups are educated in the process of running a high control group?
The nomenclature. That's sure. The word that I'm looking for is that they use.
The processes and the tactics.
Yeah, they use that. They use a lot of the same nomenclature, a lot of the same words, yes. A lot of the same tactics.
Well, clear.
To bring people in. Yes.
Twin Flames is using clear the block.
Yeah, clear the block.
Right? Yeah, if he doesn't want to fuck you, it's because you haven't cleared your own blocks, which doesn't even make any sense because then yeah. It's still the other guy who's trying to, it's the whole thing. Again, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, they also have a very Scientology, the basis of control in this group is something that is very similar to Scientology practices, the mirror exercise.
Yeah.
Like, that is very Scientology.
It's you talking to yourself about yourself.
Well, it's what it is they
and
say,
they tell you that you're wrong about the thoughts that you're having about yourself.
Well, it's that you're having a thought about your twin flame or somebody else or your doubt.
Who's not in the goddamn room.
There's someplace else.
This is a Zoom-based cult.
Yeah. Or they say that, you know, or if they have some problems with Jeff or Megan, you know, if you say, like, I think that Jeff is taking me for a ride, you'll look in the mirror and you say, I am taking myself for a ride.
He always flips it back onto you.
Well, he makes you. That's the mechanism. And to flip itself on you in your own home. That's how we can do it on Zoom.
Yeah.
Like, he figured out how to do it over Zoom to not even be in the same fucking state as these
how
people.
How do we do this? You make the podcast, right? Like, all of a sudden They're doing their own podcast and they're shipping them to us. And we go, like, this is not a Last Podcast Standard. Hey, unfortunately, this is not good enough. You're going to have to do this again.
Yeah, you're going to have to do this again and again and again. But
do you think it maybe is just rampant, not medicated antisocial personality disorder? Like, some forms of these antisocial personality disorders put you in a sort of, like, a manipulative mindset.
Yeah, plus narcissism. You know,
It's all sprinkles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This guy's very obviously a narcissist. And he very obviously gets off on controlling other people. And you can see that most on display in the Twin Flames universe diet. And I use diet in very loose terms here.
It's the only cult I've seen that recommends carbs. It wants you to carbo load. It likes you to eat big, heavy red meats because he says in order to get yourself into a loving mindset, you must put yourself into sort of a loving, it's use loving foods, quote unquote, to help. And what he means is, like, Valentine's Day dinners, like from prom. You know what I mean? It's like a steak, a pile of mashed potatoes, and a glass of red wine.
Yeah.
And they're eating big hoagies.
It's like a deli-style Reuben for lunch every single day.
It's kind of awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was this one woman that said that she gained 70 pounds in, what, like a month?
Yeah, man.
Like, it's insane.
Well,
and
it's
also,
he liked Megan to be bigger.
Yeah,
Jeff liked Megan to be bigger, so he's a feeder.
Yeah, he's very much a feeder. He likes the control, and he likes seeing the control. He likes seeing that, like, this woman's body is changing because I'm telling her to change her body. I'm making this happen. And he's also seen it on Zoom. He's just like, yes.
He's feeling more of the square. No, I think, honestly, it makes you sexy, man. I mean, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I know you're cool with it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it can work. It definitely can work.
But it's a part of your control in your behavior.
But the problem is that this woman was like, I'm becoming pre-diabetic. Like, it's not a healthy way of, like, you're not supposed to eat three massive carbo-loaded salty-ass meals every single day of your life.
Unless you've cleared your blocks. And then maybe you wouldn't be retaining so much water if maybe someone had some blocks that they had cleared.
But this Twin Flames universe shit, I mean, it's fascinating because it's still going on.
Oh, yeah, we're probably going to receive a cease and desist just saying this. That might be true because they are going hard in, especially at the end of the Netflix documentaries, the three different squares of response from the Twin Flames universe that comes from, which both Natalie and I goes being like, you know, normally if someone's innocent, they don't need 3 pages of explanations of why they're innocent. But, you know, but like no. saying how they're all liars and that it's a coordinated group effort to destroy the Twin Flames universe. But honestly, it seems to be doing well. If you look at the website, there's still plenty of Twin Flame unions. Josh and Lisey are crushing it. You got Stygian and Johanna.
Well,
they're crushing it.
Well, with the couples, now we come to the most insidious part of the
Dude,
Twin
Flame
story.
Dude, not who and Valentina. That's That's a good combo right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that actually brings me to, the most insidious part of it is the problem that Twin Flames had was that there were...
The problem? There are many problems. We're going to make one of our other shows do a full deep dive into Twin Flames because we were talking about this because I don't know if it's fully... Until he kills Megan, then it's last podcast territory. Because right now we're in the MLM stage.
But as I said earlier, cults always have to move forward. They have to up the ante. And the problem, and they cannot stay stagnant.
No.
And the problem was that Twin Flames was staying stagnant because the vast majority of the members were women.
They were running out of people to pair people with.
They couldn't because at one point they were like, okay, we have to start. We can only pair people that are already in the Twin Flames universe because obviously these other people that are outside of it, they don't get it.
They don't get
They're not in it. But the problem
is they develop false Twin Flames.
Yes, false Twin Flames. And so when they realized that most of these people were women and they had already been teaching this thing of like masculine energy and feminine energy
and
for years.
It's a binary system in their world.
It's a binary system. Everybody and they're not homo. You know, they're not homophobic. They're welcoming of gay couples. They're welcoming of trans couples. But they say that no matter what,
you're either masculine
or
feminine.
You're either masculine or you're feminine. And so when they saw that it was nothing but women, they started to convince people that they were trans.
Life,
they started
finds a way.
that's literally what they did within their own cult,
which is horrific. You know, it's forcing.
You're like, you're a lady. You're like, I had a pretty detailed dream last night. You're a lady.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they talk to somebody.
They go like this. They channel flames. Yeah. Right. That they go like, somebody's already met. You've already met a flame. It's your friend Natalie. And they're like, but I'm not. I'm not. They're like, you're gonna learn.
Yeah,
you really like it.
Well, the worst part about it is that they didn't even like do it that formally. They made a Facebook post where it was just like, Jim, like fucking Jennifer is going to be with Stephanie. And guess what, guys? Stephanie, you're a man now.
Whoa!
And there were...
Do I get stuff? Unfortunately, no.
Is life going to be easier?
Nah, not here.
No.
Well, because they had to switch because eventually the goal of Twin Flames originally was just we hook you up with your soulmate.
Yeah, that's like it was like a matchmaker service or a guidance system.
But that it hit its lip. So eventually they started saying because people started coming at them at first because people started leaving being like, well, I came here to find a boyfriend, not to be a part of like this massive system because eventually they started to turn into a church.
Yeah.
He was the thing about Jeff Dumper is that Jeff is really too transparent with the moves that the church is making. He's telling all of them what they're doing and how clever they are and how they're going to become a church. And to be honest, the United States government, say what you will, they pay attention to when you are trying to not pay them taxes.
Yeah. And he's trying to go postmodern with it. He's trying to say like, you know what?
No,
like,
we're a cool cult.
Yeah, we're a cool cult. You know, like, you know, I'm telling you the bullshit up front. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and be open with all this shit.
No, he's scamming you.
And people are falling for it.
Man, don't. But don't, though, because it's still out there.
Yeah, it's still out there. But the worst part is that, you know, they are telling people, hey, you're trans, which is to the best of my understanding, I hope that I get this right, but the whole point of trans is like I get to choose who I am.
Oh,
like,
no. You're talking about yourself.
Yeah.
Not Marcus.
You don't get
to tell people that they're trans
or not. Yeah, I don't get to tell people whether you're trans. Like, you get to decide. You know,
I feel
or
like, honestly,
not decide, but you get to, I don't know exactly the word.
So you don't feel that there should be like a department of the government that tells people if they're trans or not?
The Department of Trans, yeah.
I think that actually would really... You know, like, I feel like it really clears stuff up.
I'm just saying, I'm really trying to understand. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to grow.
I'm with you.
But the worst part about it is that, you know, these people aren't choosing You know, they are being told.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it is an issue. Yeah, that is definitely the worst part. And they're being assigned that you're a lady.
Yeah, you're being, or no, it's all men. Like, yeah. They're all assigning you're a man now because they have too many ladies. And so there are people within this cult that are like, they've already gone through top surgery and they're not trans. Yeah, they're just following what this guy is telling them.
They just send them that meme. That's just like, you're a man now, baby. You're like, this is how you tell me?
You're the man now, dog.
Yeah. With Austin Powers and Sean Connery memes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't, like, because there was somebody that came out afterwards when they were pushing and pushing, like, you're a man, you're a man, you're a man. You have masculine energy. You don't know that you're a man, but you're a man. Go through it. And then she said that she called up her mother, and her mother was like, Do you really feel this way, or are you just doing this because they're telling you that you should be doing this? And she said that was the moment when she got out.
See, that because she honestly thankful that she actually got out, because some people don't. Some people then triple down, and all of a sudden they're completely lost. Like that story of the Netflix documentary about the twin sisters, where the one sister is just like gone.
Yeah, completely gone.
But you know, again, this was a Netflix documentary, so we know they don't. Selectively edited documentary. I'm still not pro Twin Flames universe, but let's see what happens and how this plays out, because they're still very active. They are all over social media. They got all their posts. I did it last night. I went through the hashtags. You know what I mean? There's a lot. They do this thing where couples come out. Also, you can kind of see that Jeff Dumper, the head of the entire group, is kind of like whitewashing everything with the new baby, because now they have the third flame. Mm-hmm. But they're using that baby quite a bit. So I feel like we're going to end up to a new kind of baby farm period for Twin Flames universe. You know, I think we're going to get into that world.
Yeah.
Which is going to be hard when you've made everybody trans, but then we'll figure that out. You know what I mean? I guess they're just going to steal babies like the Penguin from Batman Returns. But so who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
But fingers crossed. It gets juicy. See enough for an episode.
Let's see what happens. I mean, there have been many arrests, but we, you know, we're not necessarily in the restraint. You got to go above a restraining order if you're going to be on the main feed.
But just the idea of encouraging stalking is so dangerous.
It's horrible.
Because like, then I've received these texts when you get because of our business, mm-hmm. and the people I've met in our business, mm-hmm. where you meet these people and they start sending stuff that's like a wall of like, you're my twin flame. We're going to be together no matter what. I've had prophetic dreams that you and I are going to be married. I'm a man now. You're gay for being with me. You know what I mean? Like this, like really crazy stuff where you're just going like, you know, and I would recommend to all of my listeners, if you get twin flamed, just block.
Yeah.
Don't engage, because it's just not going to work. They're buried in it. As soon as you see the words twin flame,
get out.
Be like, I'll catch you on the flip. I'll call one of those guys. What are the guys that come? Reprogrammers.
Reprogrammers, yeah.
Like maybe
deprogrammers.
Deprogrammers. Some guy can come here and kidnap you, fix you. You get one opportunity.
Although those are also very controversial.
Oh, extremely controversial.
Do you remember that documentary a few years ago about that deprogrammer? Yes. Yeah, that guy was something else.
Because, again, he was kidnapping people. But I told Jackie, if she ever gets sucked into a cult, I don't care about her human rights. That's what I'm doing. I'm coming in there. I'm breaking into the compound. I'm stealing her. Right? Mm-hmm. Even if I got to fucking, I don't know what I got to do to get her out. Right? Even if I dress as a laundryman.
No, that's nice.
Or like a pest control guy.
Ooh, even better.
Yeah. And then I spray her with a bunch of bug spray. Oh, here's your pass right here.
Now you're turning into a Batman villain again.
Live from your grave.
But speaking of the dangerous people that you meet in the entertainment industry, I finally got my first not Los Angeles true crime story.
Yay, welcome. Honestly, it was kind of nice because we were driving around with my mom and Natalie got a one of those notifications from Citizen, mm-hmm. the Citizen app, out of nowhere, being like, bag of severed body parts found in Studio City area. And my mom was like, oh, can we go? Literally. She was like, oh, can we go see? And I was like, Mom, for the love of Christ, you just got to LA. But no, but it turned out it was connected to this case.
It really is. Like, this is incredible. There is a man named Samuel Bond Haskell IV.
Yep.
He is Hollywood royalty of sorts. Mm.
he's attached to Hollywood royalty.
Yes. Well, he is the son of the former executive vice president and worldwide head of television for the William Morris Agency. And
Samuel Haskell Sr.
Yeah.
Who's also the recently under fire head of the, I believe, Miss America competition.
Yeah.
That he was dealing with a little bit of he said a bunch of rude, bad things. Yeah. He said he was mean. There was some grippies. I think looking at him dance back and forth was bad. You know?
I think so.
But he was removed from his post.
He was.
That's the father.
Today, what he's doing is he is head of Magnolia Hill Productions, which is the production company that makes all the Dolly Parton specials. So this guy...
Lover. It's not Dolly's fault. Dolly didn't do this.
I thought the Christmas special in which she played the homeless lady who came in and sang songs every once in a while, I thought that one was a bit much. I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would.
She came and going like, come on, come on, come on. Show you my pussy. Give me a dollar.
Well, I thought that it was going to be like 9 to 5, but Christmas. Like, I thought it was going to... I thought Dolly Parton was going to be a character.
No, it's her with her tits out slightly, a little bit of soot. You know, just going, do you? I forget what they, I don't know what a good homeless song is.
No, it's just the whole.
My father told me, which is always the homeless child song.
But I thought it was, but then it ended up being just about like that mean lady who's in the Gilded Age and who was in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And she's just being mean for the whole thing until finally she learns a lesson at the end.
It's like, yeah, sing. I just want Dolly Parton to banjo. I don't need anything else.
Well, I want Dolly Parton to act and then play some songs. I want her to do both.
I feel that maybe Samuel Haskell was distracted. What's going on? I think there was maybe, you know, it was the fucking Miss America stuff. And then his son's now killing people. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Samuel Bond IV was booked on suspicion of murder on Wednesday. Detectives suspect that he killed his wife and also may have killed his in-laws who are missing. Who's not missing is his wife. They found her torso in a dumpster in the back of a strip mall in Encino, which is about a 20-minute drive from where we are right now.
It is very, very unfortunate. This guy seems to have gone off the rails. He did not receive, I'm going to just go on a limb here and say he did not receive the gift of talent that his father must have. You know what I mean? If you're that level of WME, you've done something correct in terms of the entertainment industry, never morally. or you know, not as a man, but as an agent, you've done a lot of things. So I find it really interesting that maybe this guy, I feel, you know, I'm not going to make this judgment call because we don't know, but maybe it seems to sound like at first blush that he was sort of the talentless son of a very important man that then had a whole family and a structure put together, and he kept trying to make it in the entertainment industry and he just couldn't do it. And then he went insane and killed everyone.
Yes, he did. Well, I mean, for a little bit of an example of his talentless nature, let's hear a couple of TikToks. Okay. His handle is Tragic Streets with a Z.
Now, you and I have a disagreement here.
We do.
Because I believe this is it. Well, then maybe they do come together. I believe that these videos are him trying to be satirical. I think that he's trying to be funny. Tell me what you think, Rob. Because I think that he's trying to be funny. I think he was trying to make it all the way through, right? He was trying to make content that would be somewhat relevant. But then I think that now, in light of what he's being accused of, they appear to be extremely sinister.
Yeah, I think that this guy is a douchebag of the highest order. Mm. I think he believes this is how you do TikTok.
Yeah, I agree. Like, yeah, I don't think any of these is separate from somebody. Because the problem with thinking that you're funny and not being funny is that it's truly one of the most unfortunate personality flaws to have, I think, because you think you're funny.
Oh, God. It's probably the most annoying personality type on earth.
It's hard because I get it. We all love laughter.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a laugh. Everyone loves a jokester. But I think that when it comes down to it, if you're not actually funny, it then comes across sometimes as very scary.
Guess it does. Well, we're going to go through three TikToks here. So we're going to ask the audience and we're going to ask Rob, what do you think? What's the tiebreaker here? Because I think that his general, I guess, milieu is that
unhinged crazy person.
He's doing these TikToks. He thinks this is how you do TikTok because I don't think he's got a bit overall, because I think it's giving him too much credit, because he does every once in a while tag a little joke.
He does.
At the end of it. So let's hear the first one.
Yo, real quick, what's good? Like, what's up with Brad Pitt trying to like comfort Paul Wesley's wife, like, even though they broke up, but still, like, I don't even know. Like, let me know in the comments. Peace.
So this is pretty general TikTok. You shout out. He does shout outs, right? He likes to say shout outs. He loves shout outs.
And he especially
engage.
Likes to shout out restaurants that he's been to.
Which I do understand, but I feel like at this point we're just standard LA douchebag.
Yeah, and this is, and by the way, this is a TikTok done in his car while he's driving.
Yes.
The second one is the exact same position, and it's the same day, by the way. He's wearing the same shirt.
Same shirt, yeah.
Yo, shout out to Christina for wearing that rose gold. Girl, yes!
I think, again, faulty TikToks. He's shouting out to people that are following him on TikTok. Mm-hmm. It's in the comments. He's talking back and forth to some random woman that was talking at him.
Yeah, and I also think it's quite sad. I looked at his hit count, and even with being an alleged torso murderer, he still only has like a couple thousand views.
It's hard to break through. As we've seen, it doesn't matter if you're trending or not.
It's real hard. All right, and now this third one. This is at a restaurant after a meal. This is him shouting out the restaurant.
I just want to say shouts out real quick to Bamboo over in Omote Sando, Jingu Mae area. Thank you guys so much for the amazing lunch. Such a chill, classic vibe. Peace 100. Gia.
Okay, 100.
It's because he says shouts out a lot, which I do think is him. Again, I think he's being funny.
No, I think he thinks that's what TikTok, because he watches everyone. He watches young people on TikTok because he is in his mid-40s, I would imagine.
He looks, you know, besides the pockmarks and the kind of the weird, like, distant stare and the uneven eyes and the weird face, like, he could be handsome.
Maybe. I mean, he also looks like he gets fillers on his lips. I think he gets lip fillers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, now that you say that, yes.
Yeah, he gets lip fillers. Although, he does also have a broken nose. Which is interesting.
I wonder where that's from.
Maybe he thinks, I would imagine, some sort of mental health episode.
What do you think, Rob?
I think this is just who he is.
Yeah.
I think this is just, I think he's just gives douchey energy.
That's what I'm saying, is that maybe at the very center of being slightly not funny and scary is that if that's just who you are, that's just who you are, whether you think you're funny or not. Like, he's trying, I think that he's trying to catch a vibe. He's trying to do.
I agree with that.
It's really weird. How do you say this?
There's no, I don't believe there's an ounce of irony in this man.
I don't think he's joking. No. He's definitely not murdering it when it comes to his TikTok jokes.
You are correct. Not yet.
Not allegedly murdering
allegedly
it.
Murdering it. Now I wonder, because, you know, I'm not saying that you can't embrace new forms of media as you get older.
Well,
I think it's
not.
Important to do. I think it's important to age along with what's happening. But I do think that that desperation, the one thing that the internet does really well is just put a spotlight on if you're desperate or not.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's something about it where people can, it just comes through the screen. We're like, I feel like that's why it's the people that kind of like make it, in, especially in a social media realm, they have, which is largely, hate to say this, guys, a constructed view of like and presentation that you see them and they just are, you believe them naturally.
Yeah.
Which is the same as casting as you would in television or film or anything else, where if it just doesn't work, if you read as a crazy person on the internet, it's going to be hard to break through unless you have huge tits. I mean, it would be very, very helpful, like, if you had that. You know what I mean? But I don't know if he's going to get his father's, his legacy. I don't know what's going to happen because he's just got arrested. He was on the run for a little bit. They have not found the bodies of his wife's, Mae Haskell's. They've not found her parents yet. Goshan Lee and Yang Zhang Wang. They have not found them. They've called them again and again. They are missing from their, basically where they should be.
Yeah.
Supposed to be home. They don't know where they are. We're probably going to find out a lot more as we go because he might be a confession style.
I think that he will enjoy the notoriety. I really do think he will.
And now you have people coming out of the woodwork to say he once threatened me with a machete. He now all of these like pictures of him and these like old Facebook clips of him holding a sword and a big red X on his face that are all like just old content he made. And they're trying to make it like super sinister now because it's him with a Jean-Claude Van Damme little like green beret hat on with a gun and doing all the kind of like, you know, showing all these pictures of him like, look how crazy he was. But he might have just been standard Hollywood unstable.
Yeah.
Until one day something just... pushed him over the edge.
I am learning the stand. I am learning the unstable Hollywood archetype quite well.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
It takes a while to really notice it, but once you notice it, you see it all over the place.
That's our like national bird. We're like in New York, you still have like the self-important dickhead.
Yeah.
Right. Who shows up and expects the whole world to kind of stop for them, or they're like, you know, dressed in all black on a cell phone, like not looking at you, like that vibe. In LA, it's a scary, both eyes are kind of going in different directions, mm-hmm. talking to you about either crystals or about the real. And you know, like, but again, you get used to that guy.
Yeah.
Because he's everywhere. And then you just kind of decide, like, at what level do I not invite you to my home?
Yeah.
You know, like, and then you have to figure out what that is.
Yeah. The level of engagement. Like, how fast do I need to pull back from this man?
But sometimes they're just funny.
Yeah. Sometimes they are.
And sometimes, honestly, they're just on new meds. And it takes a second. And you don't know. You know what I mean? They're on a new, they've been sunning their butthole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're on a search to try to figure out like what's going on at the center of their brain. So you could maybe they might be a little wobbly.
They might be. Well, the thing is about this guy is that he made one of the dumbest decisions I've ever heard a murderer make. And one of the laziest decisions I've ever heard a murderer make. He was bringing the bags full of body parts outside of his home in big garbage bags. He saw a van full of day laborers driving by.
These poor guys.
Oh man, I feel so sorry for these guys. He flags them down and says, hey guys, I got a bunch of bags of rocks and they need to get out of here. You guys,
these rocks are bleeding. All right, honestly, it is getting messier.
You ever heard of blood rocks? You ever heard that?
No, sir.
You ever heard that saying, you can't get blood from a stone? Turns out you can.
Well, sir, no, please, sir. No, we must leave, sir. But he gave him was like $500 a piece, I believe, or total, like saying, will you get rid of these bags of garbage?
It was way too much cash for taking a bunch of garbage to the dump. But the guys said that they like picked them up and they said this was wet.
Oh, yeah, these are not rocks.
They were soft. They were like, these aren't rocks. And he's like, no, they're Halloween decorations, I mean. I threw away the rocks last week. I mean, they're Halloween decorations.
They're Halloween rocks.
Yeah. And so the guys, like, they took it out to the dump, and then they were like, okay, like, we don't feel good about this. Like, this is bad. Like, this is bad. This is bad.
And think about it. That's day labor. That's crazy money for a day laborer. And they literally were just like, no.
Well, they went back to his house and they gave him the money back. And they were like, this is like, we can't do this. This is like, this is horrible. And he's like, but it's just Halloween decorations. What's the problem here? And they said, no. And so they left and they immediately
called the police.
Like, well, but that's the thing. They had to go through this whole circuitous path.
That's scary, man.
Super scary.
Call the police, especially on this like guy waving cash around. You have no idea what the hell is going on, what you're getting yourself involved in.
Yeah.
That's very scary.
Yeah. So they called the sheriff's department first, who told them to call the LAPD, who told them to call 911.
God, we're crushing it here, man. That is great. With how much money these guys get.
Oh, yeah.
It is just great. Yeah. They can just transfer you to three different people like it's dental insurance and not a man with active bleeding corpses in garbage bags.
Yeah. Corpse bags. And he's just handing them over to people. Like, how lazy can you fucking be?
I don't know.
That's fucking insane.
I guess we're like, you're going to have to call the Halloween decorations department for that one. I don't help with skeleton breakdown. But we'll obviously, a lot of stuff is going to come to light.
Yeah.
We're going to get more as I don't think he's going to be silent.
I think he's going to he's going to sing.
Think he's going to talk a lot. I think we're going to hear a lot from this man.
Yeah.
I think his father is going to distance himself because we haven't seen a comment from him. They all keep saying no comment from the father.
Yeah, of course.
And so we'll see where that goes.
I'm guessing his relationship with Dolly is taking a hit right now.
It's hard because what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Again, you're like, you know, he's probably saying to Dolly right now, you met Sam. Right. You knew, you even probably said to me multiple times, you know, he gonna do something bad in your life. And you're gonna be like, Dolly, you gotta stop being so wise.
Dolly Parton doesn't talk like Forrest Gump.
I know. I'll tell you what, Sam, you need to think about this.
I find that character offensive.
I love Dolly Parton. I just don't know how to do the sweet southern voice.
It'd be more like,
Well, I just told Sam that he just had a problem and I just didn't know what to do with him. And I told him, like, you got to get your boy under control.
Never speak to Sam directly again. Dolly, right. You don't talk to him anymore.
All right. I guess I'm just going to go give more books to poor children because I'm the most wonderful woman alive.
She is.
She really is.
She really fucking is.
A fucking treasure. A national treasure.
Live from your grave.
All right, let's talk about this is a story. This is a good little less involved story, but it's one of my favorites when you get into like for when true crime. This story about the woman poisoning the boyfriend over the $30 million inheritance.
This is insanely stupid
because it's just God. I'm going to recommend something to all you guys. We always say we're not supposed to like help murderers, but like. Don't just tell everybody you poison them. You know what I mean? Don't just tell people that you poison somebody. And also, this is advice to people that don't want to be murdered. If you're about to come into a windfall of money, and maybe your long, long-term girlfriend, who you've been avoiding marrying for very specific reasons that you don't want to articulate to her or to anyone else, right? Probably because you're afraid of her.
Yeah.
Or you don't like her. Right.
Or you just, you know, you're complacent.
What you got to do again is if you're going to come into some money, disappear. Don't tell her.
But the problem with this case is the guy wasn't coming into money.
Oh, God,
this,
no.
This is an incredible story.
Stupid. Everybody's so stupid in this poor story. He's poor fucker. This is Minot, North Dakota.
Mino, probably.
Mino.
Minot.
Now,
I'm just saying it every way possible.
Minot. A woman killed her boyfriend by poisoning him because both believed that he was about to receive a $30 million inheritance.
I think the operative words there are believed. Both believed.
Believed. So, but then family members of Stephen Edward Ridley Jr., the deceased, and his accused killer, Ina Thea Knower, 47, of Mano, they had fallen for an online scam.
Yeah.
And he was never going to get that money.
It was such an obvious scam. It was the long-lost relative scam. Is that, you know,
a guy just sent money saying, hey, a lawyer's going to meet you in a parking lot. It's never going to happen. It doesn't work like that. You have to call the lawyer several times often. And a lot of times you got to pay him up front.
Yeah. You got to give me all your banking information.
First.
And then only then can I transfer $35 million from a long lost relative.
Don't you think if you had a relative who had $35 million, like they wouldn't have talked about that shit? Or they wouldn't have showed up in some cool ass clothing or like something like show up in a brand new Rolls Royce.
Well, it's a long lost relative. Oh, so okay. It's like it's somebody that you never heard of. This is like
just
your third.
Happen.
This is your third cousin twice
outside
removed.
Outside of a Reese Witherspoon film. It does not happen.
Third cousin twice removed. He doesn't have any living relatives. And we tracked it down. And you are their next of kin.
Me? Is he me?
Yep.
Yeah, I got to say. Yep. You got, oh, the guys at the trash plant. I ain't going to believe it's me. Yeah.
Yep.
You can't even imagine how much your life's about to change.
And then your girlfriend poisons you with antifreeze before you get the money because she believed that she is your common law wife, even though common law marriages don't exist in North Dakota.
So you don't get the money twice ways, but really just comes down to he finds out, he gets this email saying you're going to meet this lawyer. We're getting this money.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. You got your wife, common law wife, longtime girlfriend. You hate her.
And by the way, common law wives aren't.
It doesn't mean anything. She's there. I mean, it might mean in some places, I guess it does.
In some states it does, yeah.
But not here.
Not in North Dakota.
Not where it counts. Not where the murder happened. And so he tells you, but like, I want to know the timeline of when he found out he was going to get the money. And then somehow, I guess told her, yeah, I'm about to make $30 million. I see your fucking dumpy poor ass over at the fucking unemployment line. Bye. I don't know when he told her he was going to break up with her. Because that mistake. Never tell anybody you're coming into money.
But it doesn't. Does it say anywhere in? Oh, yes, it does. Yeah, he planned to break up with her and
yes.
had no plans to share the money with
her. Because, and I don't know how he told that. Maybe she discovered. Maybe that's one of those things that she discovered. Maybe we'll find that in the trial, that she discovered that somewhere, maybe in an email. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't just say, well, now things are about to change here. There's another thing about to change. an involvement of you and me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, as like, I don't think it's going to happen. So Ina find this out, right? He's going to leave her. So then she just poured fucking antifreeze into his beer.
Yeah.
And then he sucked. It's just so hard because you're like, God, just taste the beer. We're like, it sure tastes funny.
It's skunked. This beer skunked.
No use wasting it. I don't want to make fun of the victim. But
I ain't got that $30 million yet.
Well, we'll see. He's drinking that beer like half with like, it looks half blue.
You know green. What I mean? He's drinking, bright green.
He's drinking beer like, a lot of changes around here. A lot of shit's going to change. That's going to be where the pool table's going to be. That's where you used to sleep. And that's where my new Godzilla arcade game is going to be. That's where you used to stand.
And from now on, ain't going to be no skunk Keystone Lights for me.
Not
it's going to be Michelob Ultra all the way.
That's the way it's the champagne of my beers. And I'm going to get a fresh tap in the air. I'm going to... I'm not feeling good.
And she sat there and watched him writhe in pain for 12 hours until he died.
Because she kept telling him, man, that's that revenge. Because he's just going like, oh, ow, ow. She's like, you got sunstroke, Steve. Thank God you're here with me because I have direct training with how to deal with sunstroke. Ugh. And that's all she's telling him. She's been like, sunstroke. Just gotta ride it out. Meanwhile, he's just like, I'm fucking dying. I'm fucking dying here. I don't think I'm feeling that sun. Next time, you better drink a Gatorade because I can see it in your face. You've been stroked by that sun to death. But yeah, he can't. It's very fucked up. It's because Law and Crime also, the YouTube channel's got a good breakdown of it.
But the incredible thing about it is not only was the money not real, but common law marriage.
She wasn't even going to get
even,
it.
Like that's because she believed that since they've been together for so long that they were common law married. So anything that was going to come to him was going to go to her as well. So I guess she got him. I guess she poisoned him because she figured that if he kicks me out, we're not going to be common law married anymore. The moment I step out of that fucking door.
I don't think that the plan was executed by geniuses. I think that she saw this, because that's even incorrect. Because you understand that it's probably one of the most traceable. They found it immediately. They said his mouth smelled like antifreeze.
Yeah, they found a Windex bottle contained a bright green liquid in their living room. A glass beer bottle and a plastic mug containing the same liquid was found in the garage.
Yes, it was just out there.
Yeah. She did not try to hide her crime in any way whatsoever.
No, and it was, again, it's very, very easy. So, guys, straight up, you have to think harder. If you're going to do this, think harder. But they just skateboard, top of the stairs. I think that's a good way to do it. Throw a fucking toaster in the pool.
Well, first of all, Google, is common law marriage a thing in North Dakota?
There's even like, think, just, like, look it up.
Figure it out. Like, say, like, if a common law married couple, if one of them dies, does everything go to the common law wife?
Let me get my magic eight ball. Do common law wives exist in North Dakota? Ask again. Do common law wives exist in North Dakota? Ask again. God fucking damn it.
I'm just going to say yes.
I'm just going to say yes. It's leaning towards yes. You can't trust anyone.
You really? I think you just can't trust morons.
You know you know what? You know what this really is about? Break up.
Break up. Just break up.
Understand,
don't wait until you get the fake $30 million inheritance.
It's not going to play. It's never going to work out like that.
Yeah.
It's never coming for you. Mm-mm. All right. There's no, if you're miserable now, guess what you're going to be with $30 million? Miserable but rich.
Yep.
And guess what? You know what's fucked up? You're just as miserable when you're rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and you won't even, you don't think that yet. Yeah, sure. Yeah. He's going to get a new like set of veneers. They're immediately going to get ruined.
Yeah. He's not going to know
how to smoking and fucking drinking Keystone on top of it.
He's not going to know how to take care of it. He's going to go into that dealership and he's going to buy that $125,000 Dodge Ram, not knowing that they price it $125,000. So
for
you won't buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the idea. You're not going to get. Yeah. It's just not going to last as long as you think it's going to last.
No.
And the taxes come out and then you find out it's all fake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's never been there. The money never came.
Yeah. So the taxes aren't coming anyway.
No, nothing's happening.
No.
Nothing's going to change.
No. You're just, what's going to happen is you're going to get the your last $700 drained out of your fucking bank account, and then you're going to be fucked. Like, that's it. You're going to be on the phone to Wells Fargo yelling about how you got scammed.
Guess what Wells Fargo's going to say? Wells Fargo, fuck yourself. Yes.
Yeah, you got him. You got him.
All right, here we go. We got one more. This is like, this just kind of feeds into, I got a lot of messages. Number one, about just fucking corpses.
Yeah.
Across the board. I got some pushback from an undertaker that did say that he's never seen a pussy enlarged by death.
Because he's never seen a hanging death.
I don't know.
And that's the other thing is that if you listen to what I said, I did not say that it happened days or weeks later. I said that it happened immediately after the death. So
that's
by
what
the
you
time,
Undertaker.
So by the time the Undertaker got to the body,
go hang a woman. Go hang a woman and then let's look at it.
By the time the Undertaker got to the body, if the vagina was swollen during, like, how many is he hanging out at the gallows?
He's an Undertaker.
Well, I mean, I understand, you know, people die by suicide from hanging, but I would also say that the vagina probably the swelling lessened. Or, I mean, is he looking at it with a magnifying glass?
I don't know.
He did not see the vagina before.
Sidestorytellpotl@gmail.com. Have you seen it? How big is the vagina hanging? How low is your labia going? Because then I wonder if the father comes and sees your dead corpse and then just... We don't want that hanging out.
Regardless, I'm pushing back on the pushback.
Thank God. Hey, that's what this is about. It's a conversation, ongoing conversation with the audience.
Did anyone write in about my penis question?
What was the penis question again?
The penis question is if it would be possible to use a pump to engorge a penis to erection size, whether that pump be manual or hydraulic.
I got it. Took 7 minutes to jerk off an elephant. 7 minutes and 30 minutes of foreplay. I am looking this up. Does it say anything about the fucking pump, penis pump?
Well, it's because of the congealed blood. So I'm guessing no. I mean, we can come back next week with it, or a week after the Thanksgiving holiday, we can come back with it. I'm sure there'll be plenty of mortuary assistants and undertakers and coroners and so on and so forth.
I find it very
writing in about it. I'm asking specifically now on sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. Answer my penis question: can a penis become engorged? Can the penis of a corpse become engorged with, I'm just going to ask for the manual penis pump.
I got it. Here we go. We did an autopsy one time on a dude with a penis pump. He was a raging alcoholic. Apparently, the night he died, he did a bunch of drugs and drank a handle of rum. When they found him, he had porn on and his penis was in his hand. The man who prepped the bodies for us before autopsies was a sweet gentleman from Sri Lanka who spoke little English. My coworker tried to deflate his penis, but instead it made it harder. Poor guy didn't know that a penis pump was a thing and thought my coworker was a pervert. We later explained to him that what was going on and that my coworker was not into stroking dead guys. So they used a penis pump to deflate his hard penis that had remained hard in death.
That doesn't answer my question.
We also had a chick come in wanting a mold of her dead boyfriend's dick.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I've heard of that happening quite often, actually. Yeah, I think isn't there an urban legend that there's a mold of Jimi Hendrix's dick going around?
Yeah, because
there was a woman who did molds of rock star penises there for a little while. And I think there is a mold of Hendrix's quite impressive schlong.
I'm a former hospice nurse and I'm listening to your episode. When you brought up people putting in penis pumps in the corpses before having a go, it made me think of this one body I had to clean up. My guy had a penis pump and it was broken. Dude was always semi-hard when we cleaned him up and his penis rolled around.
That still doesn't answer my question. That's a living man. That is a dying man.
I feel like
but not a dead man.
See, medical student, urologist, do a lot of work with penises.
Okay.
Penis is made of three distinct tubes.
Okay. This is more like we're getting into the penis expert with the urologist.
The other tubes, all right, so you got like the bottom tube is the urethra and a layer of muscle. That's hollow.
Sure. Cynthia Plastercaster. That's the woman who did all of the casters of various rock stars.
Oh, wow, cool. Yeah, look at these little penises. There is a procedure when you hollow out these boner tubes. That's for the inflatable penis implant. The surgery is for anyone with erectile dysfunction who failed pills and injections. In order to install the implant, a urologist will take a patient to the OR and put them to sleep. The tubes are dilated and hollowed out using metal rods. The tubes are then filled with long balloons that the patient can then inflate using a pump in his scrotum. So you squeeze on his balls.
That also doesn't answer my question.
I would also say
that is way too involved for a necrophiliac.
I think that's what I'm saying. I think what we're saying here is that. I think what that answers is that the penis pumps are much harder to install than we think that they are.
Yeah. I think they're far more difficult.
You have to do a lot of stuff.
But on the other hand, I think they're more difficult if you want the penis to stay intact and usable for the rest of a person's natural life.
Whoa, that's Jimi Hendrix's plaster cast penis. How many inches?
It's very, very thick.
Wow, that is very thick penis. Yeah. He didn't deserve that. He's good at guitar.
So you're saying that because he was so good at guitar and singing and songwriting and everything when it comes to music.
Well, he couldn't talk. That's where the huge dick comes from, he really couldn't talk.
Well, but that's because he communicated through music. He was so into that idea that he actually had a plan before he died where he was going to make a music commune in Woodstock where people could exclusively communicate with each other through music.
I'm so because glad he had a heart. Let me show up with a fucking tambourine. Is he hungry?
Well, he had such a hard time expressing himself, verbally. Like, he could communicate emotion and all these other things through music that he couldn't communicate verbally. So that was his dream that he was going to do right before he died.
I'm glad that didn't happen for him.
Well, it would have lasted about 6 months.
Also, then we know what happens. As soon as you isolate, as soon as everyone's playing flutes to talk. Oh, we're playing flutes to talk? Guess what flutes can't do? Say yes or no. To sex.
No,
because if you go like, if you say no, be like, no, I don't want to have sex with you, Jimmy.
No, you can absolutely.
Like, that's how you know when you want to have sex with them?
No, it's like you could just tell someone's like, you can codify it all at the very beginning, and you can say, it's like, okay, if you want to say yes to sex with the flute, you can play like the part to like Peter and the Wolf. Like,
what if you don't know the fucking, so I can't get sex at all if I don't know how to read sheet music? This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I can imagine. I can imagine they could make exceptions for people who know how to play with their mouth. Who know how to do do do.
Oh my God, I think Henry's choking. He's doing a.
Let me just get out my dictionary of what he did.
Oh, he's having an insulin attack.
He got stung by a bee. Someone get his EpiPen. That means EpiPen. That means EpiPen.
That's fucking stupid. Well, I'm glad he just stuck to playing music and having a huge cock. And now he's dead.
Oh, man.
And that's where that gets you, huh?
He had an accident. It wasn't his fault. He had an accident. We've lost out on so many years of incredible music. Who knows what he could have done?
I mean, I feel like he could have done some good stuff. He might. I mean, who knows?
He was going off into like this experimental jazz direction. It would have been incredible. Like, it just would have been absolutely incredible.
Fine. I like Jaco Pastorius.
Oh, yeah. You.
On this harmonics and shit.
You just like your bass guitar. I like that.
I mean, it's the easiest one to do with my mouth. All right, you want to do some listener emails?
Yeah, we could do some listener emails, although we never got to the story that we were going to talk about.
What?
About the corpses.
Oh, well, I was going to do the stories about the guy asking people to eat their shit, to buy their buy their shit.
Oh, that's what you were going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, then we have the other corpses, yeah. We actually have a corpse story.
I thought you were going to talk about corpses because you started talking about corpses. No, you want... Okay, we can talk about the shit story because
Do you want to do the corpses story?
Yeah, we can do both. Yeah, there was a guy that, the community reported him because he was messaging people on Facebook asking if he could buy their shit so we could eat it.
Yeah,
but then he got in trouble because he started asking them if they had any little sisters.
Yeah. Which how it always does.
Blew too close to the sun on wings of a pedophile.
Yep. Curiosity kills the cat.
Yeah, I would say that
I'm wondering if I might be interested in selling your feces. Yeah. It could be in a container or something like that. I know it may sound odd, So no worries if you're not interested.
That's what I'm saying is opening then, salvo is quite polite.
The person immediately said, how much?
He says, how much it? How much? Is it a porch pickup?
I could do between 150 and 200 bucks for a little Tupperware of your shit.
He said, each time if that might work. So 150, somewhere between 150 and 200. So does that mean that he's going to be like charging based upon volume each time?
I would.
Like paying based
scale,
upon volume. Yeah.
Like if you're the Gelsons and you're getting the pre-made sides. You know what I mean? Like, because you know, sometimes you're like, fill the big one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'd say.
Fill the big one.
Like, you give them a small one, be like, see how much we can get in there, and then you squeeze it tight. I mean, like, pack this one tight. Pack it up.
You know what I just realized? I was thinking about a woman squatting and shitting in a Tupperware.
Yeah? Why?
Because...
Oh, just now?
Not
last night.
No. Not just... not last night. And maybe... I know we asked a question similar to this on the stream. The do you pee when you poop?
Yeah. That actually worked out pretty good. A lot of people do. I don't always.
And did we break it down between male and female?
We did. It was pretty even.
It was pretty even. So yeah, so women do pee when they poop as well. But I would imagine
holes are closer. From what I've heard.
Okay, you know, I got notes to make this show dumber, so I'm trying to follow suit.
You're doing very well. Yeah, I'm certain that some of these got some piss in there.
Yeah, I'm sure they get a little bit. Do you think that ruins it for him?
Oh, that's what he sees. Oh. That's what he does when he sees it.
Because I'd imagine he doesn't want it watery. I'd imagine he wants logs.
He wants logs.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what? Beggars can't be choosers.
I mean, he's not a beggar. He's a buyer.
Customer's always right. So it's gotta be down in specifications.
This is capitalism 101, supply and demand.
Hear me, man. You might be pissed, but I feel like if you're straight up cold calling people to ask their buy their shit, again, it's whatever shows up. You play it to the audience that arrives.
Yeah, where he crossed the line into illegality was in another message where he asked, do you have younger sisters?
Well, you know what's funny is that it's interesting because this person decided to not dox them. A person put this to this, whatever, they were like the Durham Post or whatever in Canada. That's why this was brought to my attention because it's another Canadian shit eater.
Is this Canadian?
Yeah,
or
this is Canadian.
Oh, Durham, Canada. Yes. I thought it was Durham, North
UK.
Carolina.
Well, actually, I thought it was the UK.
Oh. Well, we're all going to different places.
But you know what? They eat shit in every way on this world, and there's one thing you want to bring us all together.
In North Carolina.
North Carolina.
We have a long tradition of North Carolina. Shit. Eating a bunch of poo-poo nugget.
Actually, I feel like the North Carolina is doing very well. It's South Carolina that eats a lot of shit.
Yeah, South Carolina eats shit constantly by choice.
But yeah, but this guy, it's interesting because they said that they did not want to dox this person because they have all the messages and they want to reveal their identity because we have yet to charge this person with a crime.
Although they did report them to the police.
I think it's good for them to log them. a wink. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you could file this under soliciting minors.
Yeah, I would just be like, hey, we should look at this guy. He's trying to buy shit. And I feel like there's, weirdly, I think that there are more appropriate ways and avenues to go buy human shit for consumption.
Appropriate avenues?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine
good
so.
Good fat life.
Good fat life?
Right.
What's fat life?
Oh, Marcus, how do I know FetLife and you don't?
I don't.
It's a website. It's a social media network for people who like to get their dick holes
fetish,
spanked. Yeah.
Fetish, yeah. Fetish, FetLife. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You go to FetLife. I bet you. Maybe sidestoryslpotl@gmail.com. I'd love to know the guide way for those of you that are way more experienced than me within the sex work community. How would someone go about and legit buy some shit?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the problem is that I don't know if you can mail shit. Like, how are you going to, because that's the thing. If you're going on the internet, how are you going to, that's why this guy's going on Facebook.
What do biologists do? What do zookeepers do?
That's why this guy's going on Facebook Marketplace, because he wants it local. He wants it fresh. He wants it warm.
Well, that's different. I think it's because he also wants to know where it's coming from.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because he's not just going to buy random shit off of some stranger.
He is, though. But he wants them to be local.
Yeah, he wants them to be local.
I think it's just because he doesn't want to get on a plane.
It's going to get dry. I mean, how are you? Because that's the thing you're gonna. But unless
maybe
that's
where the pee comes in.
Unless
that's what keeps it suited.
Unless you get a professional, and a professional might know the proper ways. So if you are going on the internet, then
this is what I'm saying.
If I poop in a box and mail it to someone, what charges could I face? Is this Quora?
No, I love the note. It says, "Now I want to emphasize that I don't plan on actually doing this. I'm just curious about it."
Oh, and this is a revenge thing. Suppose there's someone I really don't like to express my hatred to this person. I decide that symbolism would speak louder than words, so I relieve myself in a box and mail it
to them. So what says at the end? What is the answer?
How would the following factors... Well, they have a lot of different factors. How would the following factors determine the legal consequences? The existing relationship, if any, between me and the recipient.
The state in which the sender and the recipient live.
Oh, so they're wondering if you cross state lines, it becomes a felony? The state in which the sender and recipient live, whether or not I also wrap the quote-unquote payload in something.
This is how we're here. It says this right here. While it is illegal to harass others by sending them poop, it's the harassment that is illegal, it is entirely legal to get poop shipped to someone or even to yourself for entertainment or gag purposes.
Interesting. So there's no biolog... Because I figured this would be like a biohazard.
I think this comes down to Brett Kavanaugh. Comes down to the Supreme Court. Someone has to sit and look at it being like, what is the intent?
Yeah.
What is the purpose of this? What achievement are we trying to get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, because right here, not necessarily seeing as bowel cancer screening here in the UK includes sending smears of feces through the mail.
Interesting.
Interesting?
That is quite interesting.
I don't know. Not if it's for medical purpose. As we say, you have to list it as a biohazard, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I get. That's what I fear. It has to be a biohazard. But then if you label a box biohazard, joke's ruined.
Also, these guys are just straight up just like, these don't go on the internet. Because they're just saying whatever. This is all just guys just saying.
Are you looking at Quora again?
They've been like, mailing poop is perfectly legal. That's what it's like, because that's what it says here. Oh god, yeah. Can you legally mail your feces as a gag gift to people you don't like? You would need to check the postal regulations. And here says giving to your eccentric smelling. So this is also interesting. This is what Jeff Dre says. He says, can you legally mail your feces, F-E-C-E-S, right, as a gag gift? And he says, given your eccentric smelling of feces, F-A-E-C-E-S, which is like, no, you're the difficult dude. You're the one.
That's how you spell feces.
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 No, it's F-E-S.
F-E, okay, there's
I don't know. We've been doing this for 25 minutes.
We have had the face.
We've had this discussion.
We have the feces versus feces.
It's F-E-C-E-S. It's never faces.
It's sometimes faces. I think maybe in England it's faces.
This is why we succeeded. Faces. It's from Laren.
Because of our attention to detail.
It says here, it's faces. It's a noun. Hmm. It's British.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
Feces.
I know my people.
I gotta do fucking everything different.
Color. Aluminium.
Killer. Aluminium.
Faces.
Yes, this is great. American. We really got to the core of this today. This is great stuff. This is the purpose of the show.
It's like how they say pedophile.
Yeah, I hate that. Because it makes it worse.
Pedophile?
Yeah.
You think it's worse? Yeah. I feel like it makes it, it sounds too fun.
Yeah, it does. Again, it sounds like the mayor of a fake town. It sounds like a character from one of those, what was the old, like the Herschel and Chart characters?
You're talking about H.R. Puffin stuff?
Yes.
The mayor of the HR Puffin Stuff land is pedophile.
Yes. All right, here we go. Let's do some listener emails.
Let's do it. And we can possibly cover the corpse story on
we'll do it next week.
We'll do it next week. We'll do it on True Crime Roundup.
Yes. Now, this is I'm reading this story because I think it's really important to know this lesson and to keep this lesson close to your heart. I took a trip to Louisiana with a group of friends freshman year of college to visit the family of one of our friends on the trip who is from Baton Rouge. During this trip, we ventured over to NOLA and the French Quarter. There are multiple Marie Laveau and voodoo shops, but there's one specifically that claims that is the original Marie Laveau voodoo shop, which is, yeah, we've seen that. It's great.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
It's great.
I mean, it's a little touristy, but overall, you get a good vibe.
Yeah, of course. It's legit, but also touristy.
Yeah.
It's one of those. So inside, there are two altars in different locations in the store, one to Marie Laveau and the other to the devil. One of my friends is the type that you can't take your eye off or they will get into mischief. Sounds difficult to be around. I don't know what that means. I feel like that shouldn't be past 6 years old.
One of my friends is the type that you can't take your eye off or they will get into mischief.
Yeah, that is a thing you apply to a toddler, not to a grown adult.
Well, I feel like that's acceptable until you're 25.
I mean, 22.
I give people a little bit more leeway these days. I mean, come on, adolescence lasts until you're like 46 now.
Things are more serious than ever. That's what I'm saying. All right, so I noticed him standing around the Marie Laveau altar a little longer than the other merchandise. There were multiple beautiful rocks placed on the altar, so I figured he was just admiring it. We continued our trip without a hitch until we started to head back to Arkansas from Baton Rouge. About an hour into the drive back, my friend asks, "Want to see something cool?" I unfortunately said yes, to which he showed me a very pretty rock that I'd seen on the altar from the day before. I kind of freaked out, because I don't like to mess with the paranormal or the supernatural. You are correct.
Yes.
You should have freaked out.
Yeah, don't
especially
mess.
The queen of New Orleans voodoo's fucking altar.
No, you don't fuck with Marie Laveau.
No. And about an hour after showing me the rock, one of the three cars had a tire explode while driving. And then one of the cars got pulled over. And when getting back to Arkansas, our room had flooded. But the strange part was that the damage was localized just to the members of our trip's apartments. But a week later, one of the girls from the trip developed an extremely bad case of bronchitis that took her out of school. And it was either the perfect storm of coincidence or we legitimately got cursed. And this happened at the start of 2020. And when the world shut down due to COVID, it was always in the back of my head that it was because my buddy stole that goddamn rock.
Jesus.
But I do think that when it comes to voodoo, there's certain things I do believe that the power of the belief within it does work no matter what you think about it.
Well, voodoo is also very misunderstood.
Very much understood.
Very misunderstood. Yeah, everyone always thinks of voodoo dolls. They always think of the negative aspects of it.
No, I just extremely powerful.
I just got this incredible record a couple of weeks ago called Voodoo Rituals in Haiti. It's from the 60s, and it recorded these actual, this guy was able to get in and actually record these voodoo rituals in Haiti, and they were boisterous. They yes. were joyful.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a very
beautiful religion.
It's a very beautiful religion. Yeah, and the way that they celebrated it, it really put you in there.
But it's scary too.
And I thought that the record was going to be scary, but it wasn't at all. It was extremely pleasant to listen to. I'm going to be checking it out again this week, and I'm giving it a second listen.
I can't wait. Give it to me.
Do you have a record player?
No.
Yeah, so why would you want it?
I hear songs through the windows from other places. When the neighbors turn it up, I listen that way. You are the one. You just got your big audiophile. I could do it more. My problem is I don't collect the records. You really, really collect them.
Oh, yeah. No, I love collecting the records. To the point where I have multiple pressings of the same record.
Yeah.
Because I like to have, I like looking at the sleeve. I like having it. I like to hear the differences. Sometimes there's different songs on different pressings. Sometimes I'll even get a record that doesn't have the song that I love on it because they only put it on the second pressing after the single got big.
I just completed my David Icke collection.
We have different things.
Yes.
We have very different things.
Maybe that's a hint.
At what may be to come? Does that mean that we're going to do a big series on the different pressings of Shocking Blue records?
Buckle up.
The Danish pressing and the English pressing, there's a lot of differences. They use the back cover for the front cover on the American pressing, and it includes Venus, where the actual original pressing, the Danish pressing, didn't have Venus because Venus was released as a single after the album came out.
No, it's fascinating if you're here. If you're here, it's fascinating.
And for more little tidbits like that, come and join the No Dogs live stream every other Monday on twitch.tv/LPNTV. We're going to be coming back the week after Thanksgiving with a new stream. We have this great segment called Vinyl Haul.
That sounds great. It's great.
Yeah, I take records out of my collection and we go through them and talk about them. Last time we talked about this disco record from a band called Mecco that did a disco version of the Wizard of Oz soundtrack.
That's incredible.
It's their version of Ding Dong the Witch is Dead is fucking great.
And that's not Nietzsche at all. It is right in the mainstream. I'm showing you exactly what everybody's into.
I'm actually right now forming a collection of different versions of Ding Dong the Witch is Dead, and so far I've got 5.
Jesus Christ. I love this. I love this attention to detail. That's what we do here at LPN. And in speaking of that, just so you know, there was a long letter that I'm not going to read. Basically, just answers the question we had last week. No, Egyptians do not have sex with cats.
They do not have sex with cats.
They just worship them.
Although, during certain festivals, cats were sex adjacent. That's the closest they can come to it.
At my house, dogs are unfortunately sex adjacent more than I want them to be. All right, you gotta kick them out of the room. Yeah. I don't even want them in the house.
I don't like it because every time
we always make them leave because I don't like them watch.
Oh no, we always kick Georgie out of the room, but the problem is that when we open the door afterwards, she's always sitting there.
Yeah, of course.
Waiting. Waiting for us because she loves to be in the room with us when we hang out. She doesn't scratch, thankfully. She just lays there. And then when she, it's a corgi. Corgis have very judgmental looks on their faces. So I get judged, I feel like, every time.
What are you doing to mom? what you do to mother in there. All right, we did it.
We did it.
This week we got a bit of a true crime roundup. Last podcast left. We're going to go. We are taking our little Thanksgiving break, but we are not. The show is going to be here. We have a fantastic long-form interview with one of our heroes out next during the Thanksgiving break. Really fucking excited. This week, we also, for last podcast left, we have an announcement on these new fucking funky-ass beans.
Yeah.
You're going to love this new fucking coffee line. Honestly, according to my mother, Henry Thomas, I can't even. This is so delicious. She just went, I don't even need my Splenda. She had, oh, Henry Thomas, this is just, these are your beans? Mom's like, yeah, Mom, get out of my house.
It was so nice to see your mother this weekend.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice to hang out.
Yeah, she did good.
Yeah, she was great. No, we talked about her HVAC system.
Oh, yeah.
Her house back home, that's a big problem.
Say, oh, yeah, no, but that's,
we talk about all the rats.
Handled all, I've been handling that. I've been working on that. Really been working on that from afar. And God, it's fascinating. I love it.
But it's nice because, like, I'm a new homeowner.
Oh, you took my mom to a Warner Brothers tour. And then the first thing she says to the tour guy, being like, my son's an actor. Being like, they'd know if they knew. You know what I mean? Like, they don't need to. It's actually the saddest thing in the world.
Well, my parents just went to Savannah, Georgia, and I haven't talked to them yet, so I don't know what exactly they did, but I know they went on a ghost tour, and I'm very much wondering if my mom, like, let
you know, my son, he's sort of the lord of ghosts.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, cool. Yeah, great. Cool. Why isn't here then?
Yeah, cool, but thanks. If you have my parents on your ghost tour last week, send us an email at sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com.
And honestly, I want you to rate them. Rate and review.
Don't rape my mother.
Please.
Don't rape my father.
No, not rape. Rate.
I said rate. You said rate. We both said rate.
I said rate.
I said rate too.
Do rate your mother.
No, don't rate my mother. My mother is beyond rating.
Priceless.
She's beyond it. She's priceless. She's, yeah. She's a priceless. She's a
I'd pay your father $25,000 for your mother.
Oh, God. That's awful. That's awful. I'm going to get a call from my fucking dad. I'm going to get a call from my dad and say, like, you tell that motherfucker. I'm going to call from my brothers. I'm going to get a call from everyone.
I love your family. She's priceless.
She is priceless. Every single one of my family members are priceless. I love my family.
And I already got a mother. But thank you guys. Hail Satan. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, hail game. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.